each day we shall have pleasure untold. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Please be seated.
Did he say 2014 a while ago? I can't believe how old Beverly's gotten in 5 years. I can get away with that with her now. I can't get away with that with you. Hey, we're thankful that you're with us this morning. We have guests, and we're honored that you've come to be with us. Please come back every time that you possibly can. You'll be finding the book of Proverbs, because we're going to just kind of sit down in the book of Proverbs this morning while I remind you, first of all, of how thankful I am for you. Thank you for the way that you supported the effort on Wednesday evening. You impressed some folks. You impressed some young people from all over Missouri, Tennessee. One was from Oklahoma. I remember that. One's from Louisiana. I know from Louisiana. You impressed young people from all over. They will remember you. They'll remember you. Thank you for helping us with to feed them, and then the way that you encourage them. Just a great group of young people. And thank those who helped us yesterday morning with the men's breakfast. The food was just wonderful, and we're thankful for them, those who helped prepare it for us, and all of you who attended. We're grateful for that. Hey, I need to remind you now, in just 3 weeks, something special is happening. Just 3 Sundays from now, something special is happening. Friend and Family Sunday. 3 weeks from now. So you got to come back. I'll see you in 3 weeks, if not before. It's not a long commute. You can come every time. That's fine. But we're going to see you. But how many do you want to have? Friend and Family Day. Hey, I'll tell you something else that's sad but special for a family. Is on the 24th, I think the 24th is the last Sunday that on a regular basis that Aaron and Audrey will be with us, right?
31st.
Huh?
31st.
The 31st. We're going to have to move it up to the 24th. Get out. Not really. But they're going to be leaving us. So we're going to do it on the 31st, okay? We'll do it again on the 31st. We'll have something special for them. And then Katrina and Garden of Eden are going to stay with us just a few more weeks, and we'll be able to, you know, do something for them as well when they leave, maybe. But on the 24th, how many do you want to have? Friend and Family Sunday, how many do you want to have? Make it easy on yourself. Make it easy on yourself. I asked someone that question yesterday as I was out visiting a little bit. I said, how many you want to have on that day? They said, a lot. I reminded them of this, because this is just a fact, folks. This is not you know, anything scientific. It's just a fact. If you say, I want a lot, you know what? That means nothing. But if you say, I want 100, then guess how many you'll have? You'll have about 100. How many do you want to have that Sunday? How many? Come on. Make it easy on yourselves. How many? 300. I like that number. Real round. I think this auditorium was designed to seat 299. We'll put a folding chair out for one more or something. 300? Are we good? 300? Now, how are we going to have 300? Everybody, right, has got to invite and bring someone. Brother Carlton, you already got yours, I guess, but, you know, bring the rest of them. You know, invite some of those baseball players down or something like that. Everyone, invite someone. 300 on the 24th, okay? 300 on the 24th. This would be a good time to invite your sister to come. You with me? This would be a good time, all right? 300 on the 24th. We'll look forward to that. Hey, here's a verse for you. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I'm talking to you this morning about the problem of pride. Anyone in here have a problem with pride? Anyone? I'm preaching to you who raised your hand. But even more, I'm preaching to those of you who didn't. Because most of the time, those who think they have no problem with pride are the very ones that have the greatest problem with pride. Pride is a very dangerous sin. I want to impress that upon you. In my humble opinion, pride is probably the most dangerous sin. Not that the others aren't, but it could be that pride is the most dangerous sin that we confront in our lives. It is my humble opinion that it is pride that is holding, maybe the sin that is holding back the church the most. Well, they're not going to tell me what to do. Well, he suggested that we have 300 that I invite my friends and family. Not me, I'll tell you what, not me. Yeah, pride is holding back the church. Pride is doing more to destroy homes. You tell me an argument. When Beverly and I have arguments, we don't have arguments. We just have discussions loud enough for the neighbors to hear, okay? When we have those discussions, you know what the root of that is? More times than not, the root of it is pride. It's pride. And I'll go off and I'll start trying to study and I'll start trying to pray. And I think to myself, how dumb you were, old boy. The only reason you hadn't gone in there already and said, I'm sorry, is it's pride, isn't it? Come on, it's pride. It is doing more to destroy homes. You know what? It is pride that is doing more to cause financial ruin than probably any other sin. Some of you are under such financial pressure. And do you know why? It is because your neighbors are buying things you can't afford. You got to keep up with them, right? I got to live up to a certain set of standards, a set of standards that your neighbors are setting for you. And it's causing financial ruin. I truly believe that pride is probably doing more to ruin this great nation that we're a part of. We are such a great nation. We are, and such a proud nation, aren't we? We are so proud. When my Bible says, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, what do we really need to do? We need to humble ourselves and pray and pray. I'm convinced that pride is causing more Christians to live in defeat than maybe any other sin. And it is definitely doing more to fill hell. To fill hell than any other sin. It is such a dangerous sin. I want to impress that upon you. It is such a dangerous sin. And what makes it perhaps the most dangerous, it's such a deceitful sin. A deceitful sin. A lot of times, the thing that people are the most proud of is their humility. There was a Bible class teacher once who was teaching about little lesson that Jesus taught in Luke chapter 18. And he talks about a Pharisee and a publican who went up to the temple to pray. And this Bible class teacher was teaching on that. And how that Pharisee said, lifted up his eyes to heaven, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like other men, and I'm sure glad I'm not like that publican. Well, I fast, I tithe, I do all of these things. And the publican would not so much as lift up his head, but he smote himself on the breast and said, Father, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And a Bible class teacher smiled at the students and said, boys and girls, aren't we glad we're not like that Pharisee? That's what happens with us a lot of times. We come so proud of our humility that guess what we are? We're filled with pride. It's such a deceitful thing. It's easy for us to be filled with pride. But what I want to do is I want to show you the reason we need to be so conscious about the pride in our lives is because it is such a devastating sin. And that's where I want to spend the rest of our time. I want you to understand how this sin of pride can devastate an individual, can devastate a congregation, can devastate a nation, can devastate a world. It's pride. So, you know, we're just going to sit down here in the book of Proverbs, and I may reference some other places and may read some other places for you, but you can just basically find yourself in this book of Proverbs, and we're just going to look at what the wise man Solomon, inspired, is going to say about this sin of pride. The first one thing I want to point out to you is it devastates our lives because pride defies God. It defies God. Am I supposed to be talking about what sin is, Thomas? Or pride is? Okay. We'll get to the other first. Let's define what we're talking about. First of all, let's understand. Pride is not having a good self-image. That's not what we're talking about here. It's not having a good self-image. Do you know how God feels about you if you're a Christian? Hebrews 2:11 says he is not ashamed, that Jesus is not ashamed to call you brother and sister. Hey, you're a brother and sister of the Lord. You're a child of God. We're not talking about a good self-image. That's not what we're referring to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse number 2, we're told that we have a place with God. Verse 21, that should be verse 21. You know, the only reason that you have any right to have a good self-image, you're a brother or sister to Jesus Christ, you're a child of God, is because you have been made righteous. You've been made the righteousness of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The only reason we can have a good self-image about ourselves is because we've been made righteous. But there's nothing wrong with having that good self-image. John 13. It says that Jesus, knowing that he came from God and that he returned to God, he knew who he was. He knew he came from God. He knew he was returning to God. And for that reason, he put a towel around his waist and he served. Listen, that's humility, folks. That's humility. That's not pride. So we're not talking about, something that's not a good self-image. That's not what we're talking about. Neither are we talking about gratefulness for a job well done. You know, we hear things like this. Well, he takes pride in his job. He takes pride in his work. There's not anything wrong with that. Listen to me. Listen to me. Look right up here. Young people, look in my eyes. If you're going to sweep the floor, take care of the corners too. Do a good job. Do the best job that you can. Don't be haphazard at that. Do the best job you can and take pride in that. We're not talking about that. There's nothing wrong with being proud of our kids because they bring home a good report card. Is there? That's not what we're talking about. That's not it. But what is pride? Well, here it is, folks. Pride is an attitude of independence from God. God, I don't need you. God, you stay out of my life. I've got this. I'm under control. I've got it under control. It's like the words of a song that was written when I was a boy. In the lines of that song, one of the author of the poem who was turned into this song says, I am the master of my soul. I am the captain of my ship. And you just want to say to him, Captain, your ship's going down. It's going down. That's what pride is. It's an independence from God. It is a spirit of ungratefulness to God. Name me anything you have that's not a gift, that wasn't given to you. You say, well, I worked for it. Well, who gave you the ingenuity to work? Who gave you the health to work? Who gave you the opportunity to work? Who gave you the ability to amass the few things that you have? And yet, we fail to thank God. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I want you. Do you know why you don't pray any more than you pray? Do you know why? Because you don't feel the need to. I do this on my own. I make it on my own. You don't pray because you don't feel the need to pray. You don't see God as giving those things to you. If you thought that everything, if you believe that everything you have came from God and came as a gift from God, you'd be praying to God a lot more than you're praying. Pride is a spirit of ungratefulness to God, and pride is esteeming yourself better than others. Is there anybody you feel better than? Well, I'm just better than they are. How about that person in jail? You feel better than them? Pride. That person who lives in a house that's just not quite up to your standards. Are you better than them? Do you have that attitude? Pride. And it's this sin that is the most devastating in our lives. It's holding back the church. It's destroying our homes. It's ruining our nation. It's ruining us financially. It's filling hell. Pride. So now let's look at these things and the way that pride devastates our life. First of all, it devastates our lives because it defies God. It defies God. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Look back up at the top of the list. I mean, number one on God's list of things that he hates. Number one, folks, what's the first one? A proud look. A proud look. Why does God hate it? Because it causes you and me to defy God. It causes you and me to just lay aside his instructions and lay aside his commandments. I know better than God. I know my neighbor better than he does. Well, I know my family better than he does. I know what they're thinking. Have you ever had someone tell you that? Well, I know what you're thinking. Listen, folks, half the time I don't know what I'm thinking. How could you know what I'm thinking? But pride. It's pride. Look with me. You don't even have to turn here. Do you know what the sin was in the garden? I mean, was it eaten from that special fruit? Was that really the sin? You know what the sin was? Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. You know how Satan got to them? In the day that you eat thereof, you'll become like God. Now, what is that? That's pride. That's being eat up with pride. And pride caused Eve to defy God, and she gave it to her husband, and he defied God by eating of it too. And we've been defying him ever since by ignoring this sin of pride. Sin devastates our lives. Did that defying of God in the Garden of Eden have any impact on you? Well, you know it did. You know it did. Is it still having an impact on you? It's still having an impact upon us. And when we're full and filled with pride, we defy God. He hates a proud look. He hates it. Number two, not only does sin defy God, but sin defiles man. It defiles man. Pride doesn't make you better. Pride makes you worse. It defiles us. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, and the verse there is 5. Everyone that is proud in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Everyone, read it now, everyone. Folks, that includes everyone, I think. How about you? Everyone that is proud in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. An abomination to the Lord. Look at chapter 21, verse number 4. Chapter 21, verse number 4. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. A high look. We used to talk about those folks, right? Yeah. You know, she's got her nose stuck so high in the air that she'd drown in a rainstorm. A high look. A proud heart. But folks, even a man who's out plowing in his field, and as he plows along and he looks at the crops and how that they've come up, oh, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. That man is sinning. He'd have none of that had it not been for God Almighty, would he? He'd have none of that. But instead, he takes all the credit. And is he better? He's defiled himself. Sin defiles man. Listen, folks, your pride's not making you better. Your pride is making you worse. You're not part of the solution. Well, if they'd just ask me, I could tell them what to do. You're not part of the solution. You're part of the problem. You're part of the problem. Pride. I'm an expert. I've got the experience. You're not a part of the problem, solution. You're part of the problem. That pride. Because not only does sin defy God and defile man, sin divides society. It divides us. Society. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 28. The verse is 25. Proverbs 28, verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. He that is of a proud heart stirs strife. You name it. Wherever there's strife, at the root of it is pride. Tell me about the racial divisions that are in our country. What's the root of it? And I don't care what color you are. It comes down to pride. It comes down to pride. And it stirs up strife. Proud, a man who's proud in his heart is going to stir up strife. He's going to. It divides us. Hey, but you know that. You know that without me even reading this next verse to you. But look at Proverbs 13, verse 10. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Listen now. Read it carefully. Only by pride cometh contention. Read it careful. Only by pride cometh contention. Hey, folks, when you got contention between a nation and a nation, I can tell you what the problem is, can't you? After reading that verse, I can tell you what the problem is. It comes down to pride. Hey, you got division between a man and a man? Guess what? It's going to come down to what? It's going to come down to pride. You got a problem between a husband and a wife? I've done enough counseling, folks, and I'm no expert counselor, but I can tell you what the root of the problem is. If there's contention between a husband and a wife, get down to it. It's pride. It's pride. I wish I had a nickel for every time I've heard, well, he's not going to tell me what to do. Or she's not going to tell me what to do. You show me contention, and I'll show you the problem. Only by pride, folks, cometh contention. If we could just empty ourselves of our pride, wouldn't that be wonderful? Just empty ourselves of our pride. What would come with it? What would come with it? Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You're not thinking right when you're thinking prideful. You're not thinking right. You're not thinking right when you're being moved by your pride. You're not thinking right. But if we could ever empty ourselves of ourselves. And didn't Jesus say that? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Right? For theirs is the kingdom of God. Pride divides families. Let's see what the next one is. Pride dishonors life. Do you know what a proud person wants more than anything else? Well, think about it. A person who is proud, what do they want more than anything else? Don't they want respect? They want people to respect them. Don't they want honor? They want people to honor them. They want people to respect them. And the very thing they think they're doing to bring respect and honor brings dishonor and disrespect. Don't take my word for it. You know it from experience, but don't take my word for it. Let your Bible do your talking for you. Look at Proverbs 11, chapter 11, and the verses 2. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then comes shame. When pride comes, then comes shame. The very thing they wanted, respect, honor. But when pride comes, they lose the very honor they want. They lose the very respect that they want. Look over in chapter 15, verse number 33. Chapter 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. If you want honor, what are you going to have? What are you going to have? You're going to have humility, right? You're going to have humility. Look at chapter 18, verse number 12. Chapter 18 and verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. And before honor is humility. Read that. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, proud, arrogant, and before honor is humility. Is humility. Look at chapter 29, verse number 3. 29, verse number 3. Verse number 23. A man's pride shall bring him low. A man's pride shall bring him low. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Pride will bring a man what? Will bring a man low. But honor is upheld by a humble spirit. Let me explain to you. Children, I think you'll get this. Let me see if I can illustrate. I heard about two geese on the mud flats of Minnesota one fall. And one of the geese said to the other goose, geese, goose, whatever. One of the geese said to the other goose, "Let's fly south for the winter. The weather's going to be nicer down there." And the other goose said, "That sounds like a good idea. Let's fly south for the winter." Well, there was a frog in the mud flat too, and he heard this conversation. And he says, I'll tell you what, I'll fly south for the winter with you." And the geese said, "Well, how are you going to do that? You don't have any wings." He said, "I don't have any wings, but I got an idea." He said, he took a reed, a stick. He said to one of the geese, you put this in your beak. And to the other, you put the other end in your beak, and I'll put my mouth on that reed. And then you fly, and I'll fly south to the winter with you." And so they did. And as they were flying south, somewhere over Indiana, a farmer was out in his field, and he looked up, and there fly two geese with a stick in their mouth and a frog hanging by his mouth between it. And he said, "Well, have you ever seen anything like that? I wonder whose idea that was." And the frog said, "Mine." It's got to be our idea, doesn't it? And we want everybody. Hey, the Razorbacks had a coach a few years ago. I don't follow them. Barely tell you, I don't follow that very much because it ain't nothing. It don't amount to nothing. At the end of the day, it really don't matter. But I remember this coach was under a lot of pressure. He felt like he had been forced to hire an offensive coordinator that maybe he wouldn't have hired ordinarily in order to get a couple of players to come to the University of Arkansas. And strife began to build. And those radio commentators were on his case. And they played on Saturday afternoon. And on the last play of the game, they won the game. Long pass, won the game. The next day, the next Monday morning, they're interviewing this coach, or maybe that afternoon, they're interviewing this coach. And he said, "And I want you to know, I called that play." And I'm going to tell you what I knew as soon as he said that. His days are numbered. Mine, splat. The very thing we think will bring us honor, pride. The very thing we want the most, respect, brings us dishonor. It devastates us. Pride is not something we want in our lives. This kind of pride is not what we're looking for. I'm just telling you from the Word of God, it's not what you're looking for. One more. Pride destroys souls. It destroys souls. Look at chapter 15, verse number 25. 15, verse 25. "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud." The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. You don't want to get in a battle with the Lord, because guess who's always going to win? The Lord's going to win. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Look over in the next chapter, chapter 16. Verses 18 and 19. We started here. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. But," listen, "better," verse 19, "better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." You don't want to get in an argument with God. You don't want to get in a battle with God. Guess who's going to win? God is going to win. And God's going to destroy the house of the proud. So it's better. It's better. It may seem counterintuitive to us. It may seem like, well, that's no way to do things. That's no way to think. But if God's going to destroy your house because of your pride, it's better, right? It's better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud. Let me take you to the New Testament. James chapter 5, chapter 4, verse 5 beginning. James chapter 4, verse 5 beginning. Listen carefully. Do you think that the Spirit says in vain? Do you think that the Spirit's just blowing hot air? Do you think that the Spirit says in vain? The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. We want to think God's always for us. He's always on our side. I can always count on God being for me. God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted. Humble. Be afflicted and mourn. Humbled. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Humbled. Let your daughters be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Why? Why would you want your children to do that? Why would you want that to be true? Because God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. What do I want for my kids? God's resistance or God's grace? I want God's grace on my children. I want God's grace on my grandchildren. So what am I going to teach my kids? Be humble. Be humble. Humble yourselves, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If there's a truth that's taught in God's word, folks, the way up is down. The way up is down. We've got to humble ourselves. And we've got to teach our kids, be humble. Be humble. Because pride destroys my soul. It'll destroy my children's soul. It'll destroy my grandchildren's soul. It'll destroy them. We have all of those. We have all those Old Testament things that are a type of New Testament truths. And we have one, at least one. In 2 Kings chapter 5, remember there was a captain of the Syrian army by the name of Naaman. Do y'all remember this? A captain of the Syrian army by the name of Naaman. And Naaman had leprosy. So Naaman went to his king after the advice of his a little slave girl had probably been captured in battle, who said, you know, there's a prophet down there in Israel. If he could just go see him, I'm sure he could be healed. He went to his king. The king said, wrote him a letter. To the king of Israel, wrote him a letter, gave him clothes and silver and gold and all of that. He went to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel got angry and ripped his clothes, said, you're just trying to start a war. Who am I? You think I can heal you of leprosy? Who am I? Someone spoke up and said, oh, but the prophet's over there. And so it says that that Elijah went with his horses and chariots and stood. Listen to the pride. He went to the house of the prophet with his horses and with his chariots. And he stood before the door. And the prophet would not so much as go out. But he sent his servant out and said, the servant said, oh, I got a message for you from the prophet. The prophet says, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River, and you'll be healed. Turned and went back inside. Closed the door. That made Naaman so angry. Why does a man get angry? Why does he get angry? Pride. Pride. He gets so angry. Listen to him. Listen to him. He said, "Verily I thought that the prophet surely would come and stand before me and would call upon the name of the Lord his God and put his hands over that place, and I'd be healed of this leprosy. Surely I thought. He's proud in himself, isn't he? He's proud in himself. And he says, and tell me to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Well, aren't the rivers of Abna and Pharpar, well, they're better than all the waters in Israel. You hear the pride in that? Well, the waters up there in Damascus, they're better than all the waters of Israel. And he began to go away angry. But his servants loved him. That little servant girl back up there in Syria who told him, I believe if you'd go to the prophet, he'd heal you of that. She loved him. No indication she's with this group, but his servants, all of them came to him. All of them came to him and said, Sir, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? And yet you won't go dip 7 times. You've got to be thankful for those servants, don't you? I mean, think about how close old Naaman come to missing being cured of that leprosy. Think about it, all the things that could have happened. He could have gone off mad and nobody said a word. He'd have died of leprosy, right? Think about how close he came. Because no one said, "You're being too proud. You're being too proud. You're being too proud, Naaman." Don't you know, years later, when old Naaman is cured of that leprosy, because he went and dipped 7 times, right? And upon the 7th time, he came up whole. Don't you know that years later, when he thought back on that, he thought, I'm so thankful someone said to me, "You're too proud, Naaman. You're being too proud. Pride is going to cost you your life." Pride. There are two truths that pride causes many to reject. Truth number one is that there is no one so bad that God does not want to save them. I know some people who have become proud of their sins. Listen to them. "Well, you don't know what I've done." Folks, that's pride. That's just pride. "I've sinned bigger and badder than anybody else. Nobody, God wouldn't save me. He doesn't want me. I've sinned bigger and badder than anybody else." Pride. And that pride will not let them receive this truth that there is no one so bad that God does not want to save them. Didn't the Apostle Paul put it like this? "I'm the chief of sinners, but God bestowed grace upon me." He's the chief of sinners. You're arguing with the Apostle Paul under inspiration when you say you sin bigger and better than the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. And he wasn't saying that in a prideful way. He is saying that in a humble way. Because it's the same Paul who would say, "I am what I am by the grace of God." 1 Corinthians 15:10. But pride will cause many to reject that truth. God doesn't want me. Pride will cause others to reject the second truth. And that truth is that there is no one so good that they don't need to be saved. And you hear it come out like this. "Well, I don't steal. I don't run around on my wife. I don't kill. I'm a good person." Pride. And pride will keep that person from becoming a Christian, or keep a Christian from returning to the God and the only one who can save them. And so I'm urging us to think about this sin called pride. It's a dangerous sin. In my humble opinion, it is one of the most dangerous sins, if not the most dangerous sin. It's a deceitful sin. It's easy for us to be proud in our humility. To be proud in our own humility. And it is a devastating sin. It's devastating. It causes one to defy God. It causes one to be defiled himself. It destroys society. It divides us. It divides us. It devastates us. It does. It dishonors us. It dishonors us and causes people to look down on us because we come across as prideful. And it'll cost us our souls. And so I'm pleading with us, just think as you study through these things. Just think about it. Think about it. And look at your own life. Because here's what pride will do for you too. Pride will cause you to look at everybody else and not at yourself. Well, boy, I knew some people that needed to respond to that sermon. Wait a minute, David. When you were studying for this sermon, God was speaking to you, old boy. Not to everybody else. He is speaking to you. But do you see how easy it would be? You see how easy it would be? Well, why didn't someone else? Why didn't they? Well, why didn't David? Well, why didn't David? Please think about pride. This morning, if you're here, you're not a Christian. I'm going to ask you to do something which will require every ounce of humility in you. To empty yourself of your pride. And that's to come trusting in Jesus. Not in yourself. Come trusting in Jesus. Come trusting in Him to be your Savior. Confess Him as Lord of your life. I've been making such a mess out of things. I need somebody else to be the boss. Confess Him to be the Lord of your life. And then be baptized. Immersed by someone else. Immersed in water. Immersed into the death of Christ. Raised to walk in new life. I'm asking you to do one of the most humbling things. It means you got to empty yourself. You got to empty yourself of your pride. If you're not a Christian, I'm asking you to do that this morning. If you're here, you're my brother, sister in Christ. I'm asking you, look at yourself. Look at yourself. And then if you need to change, make those changes. If you need our prayers to help you with those things, well, I'm asking you to pray for me. Would you do that? We'll pray with you. If you got needs and desires, let us know. But come to the front. Do that now as together we stand and sing.